Hello and welcome to the Federal. For the last few days, last 3 days now, the Parliament has not been functioning because of constant disruptions by, surprisingly, the Treasury benches and not the opposition. The Treasury benches, the government has been claiming that Mr. Rahul Gandhi, the former Congress president, while on his recent visit to London, made several comments during several of his interactions at the Cambridge University, at Chatham House, at another meeting with journalists in the UK, which, according to the BJP, were anti-India statements. There have been demands by various BJP leaders, union ministers, that range from Mr. Gandhi being tried for sedition to him being expelled from the Lok Sabha. There are the constant demand of the government has been that Mr. Gandhi needs to come to the parliament and apologize for insulting India on foreign soil and for suggesting that the USA, the UK, other European countries need to intervene and save Indian democracy. Now, this has been going on for the last 3 days. The Congress has been saying that the comments that the BJP is attributing to Rahul Gandhi were not comments that Rahul made. And the BJP is misleading the country, whereas it is the BJP which has been working actively against all democratic conventions, against the interests of democracy, against the constitution, and undermining public institutions. They have Mr. Mallikarjun Kharge, who's the Congress president and the leader of opposition, has also quoted several instances where Mr. Narendra Modi, as prime minister, had visited various foreign countries, Canada, Seoul in South Korea, and China and Japan, and made comments which, according to Mr. Kharge, were far worse an assault on the values of Indian democracy. We have with us Mr. Sam Pitroda today. Mr. Pitroda is the chairman of the Indian Overseas Congress. He is also a very close confidant of the Gandhi family. He has known Mr. Rahul Gandhi and Ms. Sonia Gandhi for decades. And he was present in UK, in London, when Rahul had each of these interactions, whether it was at the Cambridge University, whether it was at the think tank Chatham House, whether it was at a meeting of some of the British parliamentarians, or while he was interacting with journalists in London. Mr. Pitroda, welcome to the Federal. And let me just start up front.
Thank you very much.
Let me just ask you one question straight away. The other day you had put out a series of tweets saying that this was actually the factual position of what Rahul had said. Could you recount what exactly had Rahul said and tell us what you think of what the BJP is claiming?
Okay, for clarification, let me clearly outline what Rahul Gandhi said. He said that Indian democracy is global public good. I personally believe that. India is the largest democracy in the world. And if something happened to Indian democracy, it should be of concern to humanity and not just Indians. Two, the state of Indian democracy is of concern. I personally believe it is of concern because institutions are under stress, whether it is judiciary, security, ED, CBI, income tax, even universities. If Rahul Gandhi has to go to some university to speak, local vice chancellor would be very concerned about how government will react. And they will not give him the same platform that Cambridge University gives him. How can you have that in your own country? Third, he very clearly said that it is Indian problem and we will deal with it.
He so said you were saying that he did not say...
He never said
that the US or the UK needs to intervene in Indian democracy.
Never said that.
And but he said something to the contrary.
Exactly. So these people who are organizing assault on him are basically promoting lies. They're propagating lies about what Rahul Gandhi said. Go look at the tape. Have you seen it? I asked them a question. Now, you may have different interpretation of what he said. That's your privilege. Okay. But don't lie, because this is what happens all the time. Twisting facts, lying through your teeth, making you look like anti-national. Okay. I mean, just because you say something opposite, you are anti-national. Come on, give me a break. Who are you to tell me I'm anti-national? What right do you have? It is intimidation. And this has been going on for a long time, whether it is this issue or that issue. Okay? And I think that has to stop. This itself tells me that we are not following the norms of a fair democracy. It's okay for you to say something. And just because I say in foreign country, that doesn't mean India should be hurt. India is a huge country. How could you hurt India by one sentence? I just don't get it. A civilization that old, a country of 1.5 billion people roughly, can be insulted by one sentence? What kind of a country is that?
But should Rahul have been more careful in making those statements while he was abroad? Now, Mr. Jairam Ramesh, who's the Congress media cell chief, said that Rahul did not say anything new. What he said was something that Rahul has said multiple times in India.
I agree.
Then, isn't it, wouldn't one say that saying those things in India has a different kind of a connotation, but saying that on foreign soil could have been avoided?
I think this is old mindset. Okay. To me, we are all global citizens. To me, world is interconnected, interrelated, interwoven, interdependent. You know what happened during COVID? These ideas of boundaries will have to ultimately include everybody. So when I go and say something abroad, doesn't mean I'm demeaning India. You can't say that you have one set of things to say in India, another set of things to say abroad. No, it's okay for you to say the same thing. I criticize US. Nobody has ever bothered me. I live in US for 60 years. Does it mean that you are
for a politician and for somebody who's been president of the Congress party?
That's okay.
Say that on.
That's okay. But that's okay. He didn't say anything. That's a starting point. Okay. He did not say anything like what these people are saying, that he did not invite foreign countries to come bring their, voice and pressurize India to be more democratic. He didn't say that. So why are you lying? Why are you twisting the facts? That's why I decided to tweet. I normally don't do these things. I normally keep quiet because it's not fair to get into a debate. But then this crossed the boundary. This crossed my boundary. And I felt I had to speak. That let's bring some sanity into this discourse. Let's be a little more civilized about this debate. Let's not jump the gun and have everybody and his brother go to television channel and nation spend three full days of time, energy, and money on something which is not true.
As you said, as you pointed out, Mr. Petroda, for three full days, this political storm has now been brewing. Rahul has been missing in action. He hasn't been to Parliament for the last 3 days. We were told that he'll be attending today, but then today, of course, Parliament didn't function, neither did Rahul Gandhi turn up. Wouldn't it have been better for Rahul to have come to Parliament and said what essentially what you are saying, that these are not my words?
He will. Okay.
But
he
his absence for 3 days, while three full days are wasted, the Congress has had to defend him. Various leaders of the party have had to come and defend Rahul's statement. Shouldn't it have been him doing that? And doesn't it give an impression of a very cavalier disregard of Parliament and on the other hand, complaining that I'm not allowed to speak?
No, I don't think this is one way to look at it. Another way is he probably had some other schedule, whatever that was. I don't know. You know, he has to decide, and he will be there at the Parliament when he comes. He will respond, I'm sure. He's a responsible person. He will respond in his own way and not the way you and I would like him to. So give him space. Give him his own way of doing things, you know. And no one thought that this will go on for 3 days. I can't believe the amount of energy nation has wasted. I wish we had talked more about employment, inflation, security, education. There is no debate on these issues. Real issues are not discussed because we don't want real performance to be on the table.
Think that the BJP is making such a huge issue out of these statements because they do not want a debate on the issues you just outlined?
I don't know that. Okay, I would not comment on it. It's up to them to decide. The fact is, they are spending time on non-issue. That's a fact. Now, what they should do is their privilege.
One of the things that we've heard, and I'm sure you've heard constantly from the BJP and the government side, is that ever since Mr. Narendra Modi became the Prime Minister in 2014, India has, India's prestige has gone up globally. India has arrived at the world stage. World leaders are looking at Mr. Modi for inspiration. And they're saying that it is, and we're now leading the G20. And at this point, Rahul has gone and, you know, made these
statements. First of all, let me tell you that there is no such thing. I live in the US. I travel all over the world. It is Indian imagination that our prestige has increased and blah, 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 blah. Okay? There is very little on India in American media. If there is something, it is more about Adani incident recently. Okay. So this notion that India has arrived because India has 1.5 billion people. India has arrived because Indians abroad are visible in all kinds of activities all over the world. India has arrived because India has become richer. India has not arrived because we have dealt with real issues of growth. India will be an important place in the world because of the people of India, not because of one leader. G20 is a routine thing. I don't know why people are making G20 as such a large issue. It was with Indonesia, now it is with India. It's a turn. That doesn't mean you have become a leader of G20. Don't be under wrong impression. Please understand. That's a normal duty you conduct. But the way we are projecting is we have become a global power because we have G20. So let's be realistic. It is nice that we get global attention. Okay, it's nice that we get global attention. I'm happy about it. But let's look at it in totality. It is not because of one man. Today, everything is because of one man. That's not democracy. Democracy is where everybody has a role to play. So I have a different view.
Some years ago, when I had interviewed you for a different platform, you had said, India under Mr. Modi is fast progressing towards a controlled democracy. And I mean, you've been, in a sense, a stakeholder in the Indian democratic framework in different capacities. You were part of what we commonly refer to as the telecom revolution in India. You were in the UPA years, you were with the Knowledge Commission, with the Innovation Commission. And you've been, as you said, in the the USA for the last six decades. How do you see, as an Indian living in the US, how do you see the state of Indian democracy now? Have your views changed from a few years ago?
I am more concerned today than ever before. I am more concerned today because our institutions are undermined. I am more concerned because every time something happens, credit goes to Prime Minister and not to people who do it. Digital India is Prime Minister, not the software people who worked on it. Okay. I worked with Dr. Manmohan Singh. Manmohan Singh was not quick to take credit for everything that happened. In democracy, people make things happen. Prime Minister is important. We must respect Prime Minister. I'm all for it. But Prime Minister must give credit where it is due. Today, it's very different. Okay. Everything is about one man. And that bothers me. It's not good for democracy. So institutions are captured. Civil society is not allowed to function. You go talk to many NGOs, they will say, oh, we are being harassed, which is not good for India. Civil society is not at the table on any decisions. Community is not participating in governance, which is not good for democracy. And three, rational, logical, scientific mindset is eroded. Every time you talk, it is about history. It's about colonization. It's about, religion. That's not a good way to have discourse. You got to have rational, logical, where you can see facts on the table. We are not debating facts. We are debating some esoteric views. And that bothers me. It's the degree of it. I may see more of it. You may see less of it, which is okay. But these three things, capture of institutions, undermining of institutions, not allowing civil society to function freely, openly, and lack of logical, scientific, rational mindset, tells me that we have a serious challenge. We need open society. We need society where a lot many more people participate in development, where credit is given where credit is due and not taken away from people. It cannot be an authoritarian mindset that everything is me, everything is I, and it's I that bothers.
That is where you think we are moving as a democracy?
We are already there. Not moving, we are already there. Okay.
And so you believe what Rahul said in the UK was not a wrong representation of things?
No, not at all. Not at all. Democracy is under strain in India. But it's not just India. Remember, democracy was under strain in US also. during Trump regime. Democracy was under strain in Brazil. You look at Hungary, you look at Turkey. This is a global phenomena going on. That after rise of social media, after rise of hyperconnectivity, world over, democracies have come under strain. And that's why I'm more concerned about Indian democracy. That Indian democracy is global public good. I believe in that. If you don't believe in it, it's a different issue. Okay.
With those words, thank you so much, Mr. Pitroda, for joining us.
Thank you.
Subscribe to the Federal's YouTube page for more interesting updates.